The hammers fall, how the imminent departure of Tom DeLay will affect Congress and politics. Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney's scuffle with the Capitol Police. So far, at least, fellow Democrats are distancing themselves. And the war in Iraq on the ballot in Wisconsin. If you have questions about this week in politics, give us a call. Our number, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. With us, as he is every Wednesday, is NPR political editor Ken Rudin, who writes the Political Junkie column on the NPR website. He's with us in Studio 3A. Nice to have you with us, as always,
Ken.
Thank
you, Neil.
Yesterday, former Majority Leader Tom DeLay announced plans to retire from Congress, and characteristically, he went out not with a whimper, but a bang.
Because I care so deeply about this district and the people in it, I refuse to allow liberal Democrats an opportunity to steal this seat with a negative personal campaign.
So it wasn't the Jack Abramoff scandal at all, he said, but his concern that liberal Democrats, I'm not sure he thinks there are any other kind, might win the seat.
Actually, he's right about that, in the fact that polls show that he's running against Nick Lampson, the former Democratic congressman, and he says that the Republicans are definitely in danger of losing it. He thinks he could win, but he says given the George Soros money, the Barbara Streisand money, the money from the radical left, from the liberal news media, he said that he'd have a tough time winning a 12th term. But there is the Jack Abramoff thing hanging over his head. His former deputy chief of staff, 3 days prior to his announcement, pleaded guilty in this influence peddling case that goes straight into Tom DeLay's office. So he may not have any electoral problems anymore, but he certainly may have some legal ones.
Mm-hmm. He leaves, though, a Republican Party. Now, he left as majority leader. He was indicted in an election case in Texas last fall, and due to that had to leave the House leadership last fall. There has not been anybody like him to enforce the discipline with which we had become accustomed.
No, it's certainly not John Boehner. It was certainly not Roy Blunt, who temporarily took over as majority leader. And it's certainly not John Boehner, the Ohio Republican, who is now majority leader. And part of that may be the fact that there was only one Tom DeLay. I've never seen, you know, all my years of covering this stuff, I've never seen somebody who was that good at rounding up votes. Plus the fact that he had the fear factor, and a lot of people were afraid of him, let alone respected him. He was a great fundraiser, and he created a lot of new Republican opportunities for seats in Texas. But having said that, I mean, he was an ethical nightmare to those who feel that there's a culture of corruption that Democrats keep saying over and over again. But again, given the fact that two of his associates, former associates, Michael Scanlon and now Tony Rudy, have now pleaded guilty in the Abramoff affair, and given his long association with Abramoff and relationship with lobbyists, many Republicans feel that Tom DeLay is not the kind of public face they need for 2006.
Well, let's bring another voice into the mix. Joining us now is Congressman Tom Reynolds of New York, chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee. He's with us by phone from his office here in Washington. Congressman, it's very good of you to be with us today.
Neil, great to be here.
We're still waiting, perhaps, for more shoes to drop in the Abramoff investigation. How does Mr. DeLay's decision to leave Congress play into that, do you think?
Well, first of all, I don't know what the Justice Department will decide to do or not to do, but we know that Tom DeLay has made a decision to retire and not seek re-election. I think DeLay was probably one of the most effective members our conference has had in modern era politics. And certainly the Democrats despised him because he routinely defeated them both legislatively and politically. He, in his duties both as whip when I first came to Congress and now as majority leader, I think is the best vote counter I've ever known or seen. And when you look at what has played out now, that whole race and some of the fundraising for Lampson was done on running on Tom DeLay, mm-hmm. not the issues of the district. With him stepping out of this race down here, it will now become a debate over ideas, not over personalities. And so I think that DeLay's exit from Congress will force Democrats to have to talk about ideas and in the battle ideas. So far, the Democrats are lost at sea with no agenda.
Well, let's get back to the Abramoff investigation just for a moment. Interesting editorial today in the Wall Street Journal that said, thus far, in terms of the investigation into Mr. Rudy and to Mr. Scanlon and to Mr. Abramoff, all Republican stalwarts, yet none of this, the editorial said, is seen as partisan or a political investigation. Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't know what the editorial said, or and you've outlined some of it, but I didn't hear you mention Harry Reid or others that may or may not be involved in the Abramoff situation. But I think what's important here is DeLay was a very effective member of the House Republican majority. He's one of his founding fathers. Certainly, Democrats despised him based on his victories. He's put his party ideals before his own ambition, and I think Democrat prospects in the Texas seat, which is what the effect Tom DeLay will now have as he's out of it, I think they've been reduced greatly. And while the lights aren't completely out for the Democrats, they've certainly been greatly dimmed.
Congressman Reynolds, it's Ken Rudin here. You mentioned you threw in the Harry Reid thing. Well, Harry Reid did take money from some of Abramoff's clients, Indian tribes. You're not comparing Harry Reid to Michael Scanlon and Tony Rudy and Jack Abramoff, are you?
You asked me a question, and I said I didn't see the editorial, or actually Neil did.
Yes.
And it is what it is. The Justice Department has all the prerogative in the world to review this. It's ongoing. I can expect probably we'll see more. But there should not be any more finger-pointing of Tom DeLay than Harry Reid or anybody else until the Justice Department finalizes whatever decision they have. I think the issue today, at least that I've dealt with, is what about DeLay? And I've said over and over again, I think he's a very effective member of the conference. Democrats despise him. They made him the issue after he defeated them both legislatively and politically. They recruited Nick Lampson to run in his seat, who was caught in redistricting a seat not as good as what this DeLay seat is for Republicans. He's put his party, being DeLay, put his party ideals before his own ambition. And when you look at the seat itself, Democrats have greatly diminished in the opportunity of winning that seat down in Texas.
I think, Congressman, I think you're absolutely right. I think the Republican Party is better off with a new nominee, and I think Tom DeLay is the first one to admit that. But you're also quoted as saying that you think that this whole midterm election will be the old all politics is local. You don't see this as a national theme. But are you concerned at all by the fact that most generic polls, and again, these are not generic candidates who run, these are real candidates, but generic polls show Democrats with a double-digit lead over Republicans? I think back to 1994 when 35 Democratic incumbents were defeated in the anti-Clinton landslide of 94, and a lot of these guys were conservatives, but there was a wave that swept them out, and a lot of them had nothing to do with anything except for the fact that they had
a good point. So I think we need to set the record straight, at least from how I see it, and that is first that the polls, while they have the president's numbers down and they have Congress down, and they have both Republicans and Democrats of Congress down, ask about how you feel about your congressman. The most recent poll, which is Time Magazine, there have been a number of other national polls easily public, excuse me, that all have somewhere between 63-64%. I love my congressman. I like my congressman.
Right.
When you go back to 1994, let's take a look at what Charlie Cook said then as an independent pundit. There were 106 competitive races in the country in 1994, and 95 of those were Democrats, 11 were Republicans. Only last week, he said there are 36 competitive races, 25 are Republican, 11 Democrat. I do not see the ability that the Democrats can do to make a national race out of this, plus they lack the money to be able to do that. In our instance, we have been successful in 2004, 2002, and 2000 from running local races where members of Congress and candidates know exactly what's going on in their districts, and that's the issues they're articulating about. My district in upstate New York, I promise you, it's jobs, and that's what the issues are that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Others, it might be border security or whatever it may be. And so we have found our success in returning our incumbents and winning the bulk of open seats of opportunity has been from making it all politics is local. It trumps national air wars every time.
I think we have a caller from your district, I think, Spencerport, New York. Joe, you're on the line.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. And hello, Mr. Reynolds.
Hi.
Hi. The question I have for you is, it seems every time I hear you speaking, it's as the chairman of the NRCC, and it seems like everything is so divisive, especially with the NRCC, but in general with all politics as usual. And how is that supposed to benefit each constituency, specifically yours, since I live in that constituency and don't really ever hear you talking about the specific issues, just more as NRCC chairman and all the divisive talk that goes along with that.
Well, Joe, to be fair, I think it's the job of the chairman of the National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee to tout the Republican Party and Republican candidates, but Congressman, I'm sure, can speak for himself.
I couldn't say it better.
Joe, is the congressman right? Is the issue up where you live? Is it jobs?
It is jobs, but I would actually say that the main issue would be health care. But you could tie jobs into that because, as you may not know, but Mr. Reynolds probably knows, the University of Rochester is now the number one employer in this area, and with the whole stem cell funding and all that, that goes right into health care, but it also goes into jobs. So it's a partially correct answer, I'd say.
All right, Joe. Thanks very much for the phone call. We appreciate
it. Thank you. Have a great day.
And, Congressman, we appreciate your time today.
Great. Both Ken and Neil, appreciate it. Thank
you. All right. That is Congressman Tom Reynolds from upstate New York, who's also the chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee. You're listening to the Political Junkie segment on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Ken Rudin, let's talk about another issue. And this is the scuffle with which Democratic Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney got into with some members of the Capitol Police. This is her summation of what happened briefly.
This whole incident was instigated by the inappropriate touching and stopping of me, a female black Congresswoman.
Now, it's unclear exactly what's going to be coming out of this, but politically speaking, some Democrats have distanced themselves from Congresswoman Kennedy. Here is the House Minority Leader, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi of California.
I don't think any of it justifies hitting a police officer. I don't know if that happened, but I'm just saying if it did happen, I don't think it was justified.
Did we just hear the Minority Leader throw one of her members under the bus?
Well, we also heard from the chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus today, Mel Watt of North Carolina, said, you know, he was asked over and over again about what he thought about McKinney's charges, and he kept saying no comment. You know, I'm going to do something I never do on this show, and I'm going to measure my words pretty carefully because race is something that is out there. Is there racial problems in this country? Absolutely. Is there racial profiling in this country? There is, unfortunately. But there's also Cynthia McKinney, who lives basically on using race to get a point across. Her member, the voters back home in her 4th congressional district in Georgia, in Atlanta, 2 years, several years ago, voted her out of office because of her constant anti-Semitic ramblings and her. I mean, there are a lot of people who say that, you know, if Jesse Helms is going to put an ad on that's racially insensitive, if certain Republican conservatives are going to use race baiting, then if we're going to make those claims, then you should make them against people like Cynthia McKinney because she has used her entire career on race based on often hate filled language. When she was defeated for renomination several years ago, her father was asked why she lost, and he said, "Simple, it was JEWS." I mean, this is what comes out of the McKinney family. And it's a long time coming, and this is another instance in that situation.
Well, let's get a caller on the line. This is Kevin. Kevin's calling us from Atlanta.
Hi there. I am actually one of Cynthia's constituents, and I don't want to generalize the district, but I think many of us kind of put up with these eccentricities of hers because we generally agree with her liberal views, but I'm kind of getting a little tired of her. My main question is, is it too late for a primary challenge this year, or is she safe this year? Is she going to sail through in 2006?
Well, the district is certainly Democratic, and of course, when she lost to Denise Majette several years ago, it was in the Democratic primary. The filing deadline for Georgia is April 28th, so candidates can still come in the race and challenge her, but there's no big names on the horizon. Denise Majette, who beat her and then gave up the seat 2 years ago to run for the Senate, is running for a different position. I don't know if there's any pressure on her to come back to the 4th District, but as far as I know, there are no big names. But again, you still have until April 28th to file.
Kevin, thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Ken, a couple of other topics of interest this week. Local referenda on the ballot in some places in Wisconsin this week, calling for immediate withdrawal of American troops from Iraq. Of course, this has no binding effect. You know, can't have your own foreign policy there in Wisconsin, any towns in Wisconsin. Nevertheless, it carried most places.
Right. One would like to think that there are national leaders who should be conducting foreign policy. But again, this is democracy at its finest. It actually started last year in Vermont, when some small towns voted to pull immediate pullout of American troops from Iraq. And yesterday, 24 of the 32 communities that had these initiatives on the ballot voted for an immediate pullout.
Mm-hmm. And let's see if we get one more caller on the line. This is Leslie. Leslie with us from Grandy, North Carolina.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
My question is regarding Tom DeLay. I understand that he will be able to use his remaining campaign fund of $1.3 million now to pay for his defense. And I have two questions. Number one, is this legal, or does it need to be approved by some committee? And number two, if Mr. DeLay were accused of child molestation or drug dealing, would he also be able to use that fund to defend himself?
Well, certainly is legal. There are too many members of Congress, I hasten to add, that too many members of Congress who have used campaign funds for their own defense. Jim Traficant in Ohio did it. So it certainly is legal. I don't think whether it's a money laundering or a child molestation, I believe just you can use campaign funds.
Or whether it's a state or federal charge.
That's right. But the members of Congress can use campaign funds to do that.
I understand that Cunningham in California had to get it had to be approved for him to use his remaining campaign funds. So is there an entity that would oversee this and perhaps deny him access to those funds for defense?
Well, actually, the thing that's different here is that not only did Duke Cunningham take $2.8 million in bribes from defense contractors, but he was convicted of it. Tom DeLay has not been accused of anything, charged of anything, but he does have legal bills, and his campaign funds can pay for those legal bills.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call, Leslie. NPR political editor Ken Rudin joins us every Wednesday here on Talk of the Nation. He also writes the Political Junkie column on the NPR website. His new column features the DeLay resignation, Senate majority leaders who have run for president, and who in the House currently supports impeachment. You can read that at npr.org. Ken, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Neil.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.